With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. With Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies at their lowest levels in 10 years in some cases, generating revenue is priority number one for some companies in that space. We'll take a look at what Coinbase is doing in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The personal saving rate, that's the difference between disposable income and spending, was 7.5% in January. That's down slightly from a month earlier, still relatively high compared to past decades. And consumers modestly increased spending in January. The Commerce Department says that spending rose 0.1%, though Americans reined in spending on durable or long-lasting goods. That's a second straight month of pullback on such goods. Also in January, inflation fell 0.1% and was up 1.4% from a year earlier. That's a sharp pullback from annual growth of 1.8% in December. The Federal Reserve's target rate for annual inflation, by the way, is 2%. And it's getting harder and harder for high school students to get into top colleges. Several top schools, including Ivy League institutions, reported record low acceptance rates after sending out acceptance letters late last week. Harvard, for one, posted a 4.5% acceptance rate this year, inviting 1,950 of 43,330 applicants to enroll. Dartmouth College also hit a record low with 7.9%. Cornell accepted 10.6% of applicants, up slightly from last year. It's the only Ivy League figure in the double digits. And the Journal's Melissa Korn reports the shrinking rates have pushed many high school students to apply to more colleges, thereby pushing the admit rates lower and the caliber of students higher for a wider pool of schools. Brown University, for instance, said that 94% of admitted students are in the top 10% of their high school classes, while New York University said the median SAT score for admitted students this year was 1480 out of a possible 1600. Bitcoin is in the longest slump in its 10-year history, and that has many companies in the cryptocurrency space scrambling to make money just to stay afloat. Well, now Coinbase has a way it hopes to bring customers on board, and the Journal's cryptocurrency reporter Paul Vigna is here with details. So, Paul, Coinbase hopes it has incentive for customers to bring their money there and essentially park it. It's called staking?
Yeah, so Coinbase started out as a trading site, an exchange for cryptocurrencies, and they've expanded over the years. They've become several things. One thing that they launched within the last year was a dedicated custody service, regulated, insured custody service, where people, institutional investors really, could invest in cryptocurrencies and park the money there. You know, literally just a custody service. And what they are adding now is a feature that allows you to earn money on that custody service, assuming that you invest in specific cryptocurrencies. And that's a very key point. It's interesting because what I'm seeing now is another trend in the cryptocurrency markets. And the trend now is people trying to figure out ways to essentially pay cryptocurrency investors what looks almost identical to an interest rate. In other words, if you buy a bond, obviously you get an interest rate. Buy a corporate debt, you get an interest rate. This is basically, if you invest in cryptocurrencies, you get what is essentially an interest rate. The process is called staking.
Mm-hmm.
So what staking is, without getting too dense into the weeds on this, because we could do a whole podcast just on staking. Essentially, when a cryptocurrency starts up, what they're trying to, one of the many things they're trying to do is come up with a way to keep the network secure. And one of the ways you do that is by putting a cost on anybody who wants to participate in the network. So in other words, if you want to become one of the independent, you know, look, every cryptocurrency is run on a network of connected but independent computers. Anybody can download the software and become part of that network. And when you're part of that network, you are involved in processing transactions. You are involved in any kind of governance issues. If anything, you know, if there are software changes that need to be made, or, you know, you can reject them, accept them. But to be part of that network, you have to pay a price. And the reason that you have to pay a price, and the price goes up the more people that are involved, is they want to make it expensive for people to be involved, because you want to make it expensive for anybody who would want to come in and attack it. So what you're basically putting up is a giant wall. In the case of a lot of these cryptocurrencies, that giant wall is in crypto. And that's where it's called staking. What you're doing is you are staking a certain amount of money in order to be a participant. And I see you furrowing your brow already, JR.
Is this also a way to have people kind of have their toes in this sector, even though they might be scared away by the volatility and extended downturn?
Yes. The idea is, you know, if you really believed in a cryptocurrency and you wanted to be involved, you would probably do this anyhow. But say you were somebody who just wanted to invest. You weren't really, you know, that high on the hog about being a validator or a miner. You just want to invest and get some money out of it. Well, you could download the software yourself and run the software yourself, but that's kind of expensive and cumbersome. And if, you know, your computer dies or you get hacked or whatever, you lose everything. Coinbase is basically taking on all that effort on your behalf. You just give them the money. They do everything for you and they pay you out money.
You're thinking 5 to 8%?
Yeah. And the other half of what I was explaining before about how you have to put in money, how you have to put in something, the incentive for doing all that is you get paid. What you get is, and this is the mechanism by which these cryptocurrencies create new coins. Every time you're involved in a transaction, confirming a transaction, a process, new coins are created. And you don't get it every single time. It's kind of a competition, not a competition, but I mean, it gets spread out among everyone who's involved. Mm-hmm. You get paid in new tokens. Over a long term, however long you're involved, you will end up getting a pretty steady set rate of return. That is basically why this looks like an interest rate. If you're holding your tokens in Coinbase's custody service, and they're starting off with one cryptocurrency, I should say, it's called Tezos. They expect they will add some others, but they're starting off with one.
And you cannot hold Bitcoin.
No, not right now, because Bitcoin's entire network is based on a different type of, it's based on what's called proof of work, not proof of stake. Tezos and some of these other ones, a lot of other ones are proof of stake. That's why we call it staking, because you're putting up money. In mm-hmm. Bitcoin, you are basically, you're putting up computing power. I mean, people talk about how energy intensive Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
It's because to participate, you have to put up what is essentially computing power. There's a degree of difficulty that makes it such that it becomes very expensive. You're putting up a lot of energy mm-hmm. is what you're basically staking, you know? And the reason why, again, is they want to make it hard for anybody to attack the system. So that's why Bitcoin, you know, and it's, you know, it's a philosophical, practical difference between different blockchain creators. But that's why right now you can't do this with Bitcoin, because with Bitcoin, you're not putting up a stake of cryptocurrency. You're putting up energy.
And you explain that in your story on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. For Coinbase, the staking service seems like it is one step toward offering a range of financial services in the future.
It is. I mean, all these companies are trying to figure out exactly what they're going to be, right? What services they are going to offer, how they are going to make money, what this is all going to look like. I mean, what you're basically seeing, and one of the reasons it's kind of interesting to me as a writer, is what you're basically seeing is a completely parallel financial system emerging based on digital currencies. And what is that going to look like? How is it going to be similar to what we have? How is it going to be different from what we have? What, you know, wrinkles, what features, what benefits, what problems? This is one step in that. And like I said, Coinbase is not the only one. You know, staking is it's been around mm-hmm. since the beginning of these cryptocurrencies. It's not a new thing. What's new is that Coinbase and some others, as I mentioned in the story, some others are offering this, is that they are now taking this existing system and sort of repackaging it in a way that you can just be an investor in it. You put up some money and you get what is essentially an interest rate for putting your capital into this network.
Is offering staking, and I know that Coinbase isn't the first, but is offering staking the result of the extended downturn in cryptocurrency, or is it a concept that has been around for a long time?
Well, yeah, the concept has been around for Bitcoin's 10 years old. I don't know exactly off the top of my head how old the idea of proof of stake is, but certainly less than 10 years old. But as soon as you had some of these altcoins that were based on it, but proof of stake, it's, I don't know, it's at least 5 or 6 years old, the whole idea of it. So this has been an ongoing process. You know, it's existed. What hasn't existed is the idea of just sort of packaging it as a packaging it and marketing it as a way to earn money on your cryptocurrency investment.
Oh, I see.
That's kind of new. Before, the real carrot and stick of it was you're involved in the network and you are processing transactions and you are validating and you are voting on governance issues. You're really part of the network. And it was attractive to people who sort of philosophically wanted to be part of that network. You know, now it is really just kind of being sold as an investment. And what's interesting is, you know, to get back to your original question, yes, this is another way that people are trying to figure out how can we attract capital to this market? How can we get people involved? How can we get people literally and figuratively invested in this and bring in capital so that we can keep growing this, bring in capital, bring in interest, keep this thing going and keep growing it? So it is, you know, yes, for Coinbase, it's a way to just kind of, you know, get customers, get clients, get capital. But for the industry as a whole, it is something that I'm seeing emerge in response to, I think, in response to the fact that you have this prolonged downturn, this prolonged bear market, and a lot of the momentum that drove, certainly that drove that 2017 mania, has just gone.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal cryptocurrency reporter Paul Vigna here in our studio. Paul, thanks for coming in and coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. JR, thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.